This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. 353,000 new jobs. 353,000 new jobs. What are we even supposed to do with that? The answer to that question and however many more we have time for will come today from Heather Long at The Washington Post. Also, Gina Smilek. She is at The New York Times. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
Heather, you get to go first today. And the question is, as I said, what are we even supposed to do in an economy still creating 353,000 new jobs?
You have to cheer. I mean, this is unambiguously good news to see that level of job growth. And December was also revised up massively. You know, you sort of sit there. We can all live in a little bit of a bubble sometimes. And obviously, we just watched a ton of headlines come out of layoffs, particularly in the tech industry in January. And I think we all got a lot of really nervous. And instead, you forget, as you often remind people, that there's, you know, this is an economy with 161 million workers. There's always layoffs and people leaving and also people getting hired. And we saw that today. This is a strong economy. I was really happy to see hiring across almost every industry. Mm-hmm. This isn't just being propped up by the government or healthcare. Even childcare added workers, which we desperately need. Mm-hmm. So I think there's just a lot to celebrate. The few things that, you know, you may say this isn't great, like wage growth coming in hot at 4.5% or the more people being unemployed for 27 plus weeks. You know, some of that is indicative of some funky measurement that happened during the snow week that many people in the United States experienced. So a lot to celebrate.
Gina Smilek, let us turn to one Jerome Powell and his press conference on Wednesday, for which you were, I think, were you in the front row? I couldn't really tell from the camera.
I was in the front row.
Okay, all right. And Chair Powell said repeatedly, this data is good. We've got confidence. We just need to see more. And you followed up with him a couple of times. I'm not sure he ever answered your question of what more do they want to see other than more?
more data, right. More good data. It was such an interesting press conference because it was the most optimistic press conference I've ever been at with a Fed chair. Yep. You know, I've been doing this for a decade now, and he said the word good to describe economic data or the overall economy 17 times over the course of that press conference. So very, very optimistic. And he basically just told us, I think again and again, that what they want to see is exactly the kind of data they've been seeing, but a few more months of it. So they want to see more evidence that inflation is holding at these really sort of moderate monthly increases for a couple more months before they're going to feel confident lowering interest rates. And he was very careful to, I just said couple, but he was very careful to avoid putting a specific number on it.
Well, he actually did specifically, Gina, take, well, you were in the room, so you give me the tone. He made it clear that March is not really in play, right?
Yes, he said that it was unlikely that they were going to be confident enough that inflation is fully under control to cut rates in March. I think unlikely was his exact word. So it seems like March is not on the table at this moment.
Okay. Speaking of confidence, Heather, consumers, hello, sentiment out today keeps going up. We now, it seems, are past the ooh, how are consumers feeling thing, right?
I hope so. It does seem like the vibe session is over. And that's good news. What you really are seeing is that people believe that inflation is under control again. And people are really starting to notice that wages are going up for most people a lot faster than inflation. You know, 4.5% wage growth in the past year and 3.4% inflation. You know, that's a pretty outsized bump. So people are starting to notice. Now, you do sort of still sit there and scratch your head a little bit. The the average for the past 40 to 50 years on those consumer confidence statistics, we are still below that long run average. So you sit here and we talk about what a strong economy is. Fed Chair Powell on Wednesday said, let's be honest, this is a good economy, right? And yet people still rate it below average, but hopefully they will continue to really feel that they are getting better off, right, despite all the tumult.
All right. So, Gina, I've been searching for the answer to this question. Haven't gotten it yet. You literally wrote a book on the Fed. So I'm going to ask you the Fed thinks the economy is good. Right. Powell said this many words that said it in that many words. Other members of the Board of Governors or the regional Fed presidents have said, Rafael Bostic specifically in Atlanta, the worst thing we could do would be to cut rates and then have to raise them again. And here's the thing I don't understand. Why would it be so bad? The data shows things are good. You cut rates, the data changes, and you have to raise rates. Why is that the apocalypse?
Two words, Arthur Burns. So during the great inflation, the really bad inflationary episode that we had that started in the 70s and continued into the early 80s, what we saw was the Burns Fed under Chairman Arthur Burns repeatedly sort of cut interest rates before they had wrestled inflation fully under control. And then they raised them again. They sort of followed the pattern that you just described. You know, they realized that they hadn't gotten things under control and they raised them again. But what happened was this inflationary psychology took hold. And this is sort of the popular narrative. This is how we talk about it today. So right. this inflationary psychology took hold. People started expecting inflation to be a little bit higher over time. They didn't think that the Fed was serious about containing it. And then when gas prices took off because of oil embargoes, lots of problems happened and inflation jumped out of control. And so I think when officials talk about this as the worst thing, that is why that one episode is the thing that's sort of weighing on their minds.
Okay, but look, I just want to keep on this for a minute because it's been bugging me. We have been told ad infinitum by Powell and everybody that the economy is different now, that things have changed. We are still hamstrung by things that happened 50 plus years ago, Gina?
In a very different economy, too. Yeah. I think it's important to note. So I think that, you know, that was a very manufacturing-based economy. We were very susceptible to global oil moves in ways that we're somewhat more insulated from now. If you talk to some economists today, they'll say, why is this the worst thing? Wouldn't the worst thing be causing a recession?
Right.
You know, wouldn't that be the worst thing? And so I think this is a conversation we're going to be having a lot this year. You know, is the Burns example the one that we should be allowing to haunt us?
If only there was a reporter for the New York Times who could write that article for us. I'm just saying. Gina Zweilek at the New York Times, Heather Long at the Washington Post. Thanks, you two.
Thanks,
guys. Happy weekend.